The next presenters are Rod and Tia.
How much time do we have?
15 minutes, like anybody else.
Thank you everybody for being here today and here for our presentation. We've introduced ourselves before, but for those of you who don't know us, this is Dr. Rod Hackney, and I'm Tia Kantsara. We've been working on this concept since February, but I'm going to take you back, way back. I'm going to take you back to the time when Rod started working in the field of community architecture. This is one of the books that he's written. It's on exposing the truths behind the construction industry. Something very important about Rod's past is where he came from. He was born in Liverpool. He was brought up in Wales. He looked at architecture. He looked at bad design. He looked at how health was being affected by this living standard, and how over the years and over his experience in different fields, he's brought them back by even living in the structures that he's made, going to school of architecture at Manchester University, and developing a new mindset of community architecture then that was new. Now, it's been renamed as sustainable architecture, whereas before, it was always sustainable. Over to you, Rod.
Yes, my lecture is about using people, not making machinery, and not making new products. Something like 2 billion people unemployed in the world, and that's got to be a resource. You've got to tap into the energy of people. We must avoid reinventing the arc every minute, every century. It's about using people. This man had a vision. He was great at the small scale, a disaster when it came to advocating how you redesign people's lives. Next, please. There's no excuse for bad design. There's no excuse for bad construction. Yet, the people pay the price. The people live in our products as architects and live in our products as builders. I'm a qualified builder as well as an architect. Next, please. It's very interesting that in the world of complicated systems like the United States and Western Europe, they have great difficulty dealing with disasters. Yet in the third world, they expect people to get out of the mess they find themselves in. And that's why Katrina is the advance of some of the solutions you have in Asia, in Indonesia, and in Sri Lanka, next please. In the West, we tend to feel that we have to keep people poor underneath an agency because they can't do anything for themselves. We give them bits of money. They want more than money. They want their self-esteem back. In the third world, we educate them. We educate them to survive under difficult conditions. Next, please. I introduced what I thought was a way of surviving for people in Stoke-on-Trent, in many parts of Europe, and in here, particularly in the UK, by taking my own house and working, knocking down. Then it was a good idea to knock down the shared toilets. One toilet for 6 hours, one wash house, but for 10 houses. But I found that in these people, there's a tremendous resource of talent that needs tapping. It is a responsibility of the architect not to glamorize, not to make predictions that are unfulfilled and can never really be satisfied because of the economy. Here is the resource. People and buildings. All you need, the two things. You don't need new materials, you've got them. They're here. They exist. They shouldn't become hardcore for new roads. And these people shouldn't be surplus to requirements. There are too many of them around to be satisfied with that. Next, please. It is a condition of contract. Anybody working in my organisation, they live for 10 years in a scheme, not in the centre of the city, on site, working with the new chairman, setting up a company, protecting these people. They are also electricians, and it's up to the architect to sign the certificate. The electricity has been satisfactorily carried out. In most European countries, you don't have to be a qualified electrician to do electrics. You have to have a certificate that the electricity that's been done qualifies to the known standards. Next, please. My street of Backroad, this man was out of work, had been to jail for stealing something from a store. He came out, was revitalized because we managed to teach him to survive and bring up his family in difficult conditions, because this is a poor area, this is not unemployed before, became employed by not only providing a shelter for his family, because he's stronger than women are physically stronger, not mentally stronger. And his kids loved him in the end because they found out that their dad was good. He was useful. He wasn't a jailbird. Next, please. And it's very interesting, you know, how people jump on the bandwagon, left and right, middle, liberals, whatever. My house, 4 years later, I reinvented myself. I hadn't been taught to do this. I was doing a PhD in this house, quietly getting on with it at Manchester. People knocked on the doors and you realise it's a slum. Rather, it's been locked down. Please help us. Next, please. And it went around the world. Went all around Britain first, lots of TV programmes. It went to difficult cities where there were riots. We had riots in the 60s and 70s in Britain, next place. And I found that it could go abroad. Kreuzberg, right next to the wall in Kreuzberg in Germany, it worked. Mainly students going in and becoming squatters. Suddenly they became owners. Very run down part of West Berlin. There is East Berlin. And off to Stockholm. And very interestingly, something happened to us last week in India.
We were in Mount Abu and we met one of Rod's very old friends, Ragnar, and he told us about his conflict resolution work that he does with the UN. And something quite similar to that that is now cropping up is conflict resolution within a domestic environment. So both Rod and I have been invited back to meet Ragnar and his son Martin, who's an economist, and to work on community conflict resolution.
The idea is to bring money into a scheme, that's why Tears partner with me for the future, to find that little bit of money you need to trigger these. Not big money, little money. Because you've got the materials, they're free. You've got the labour, it's free, and it's available because unemployed, and it's seeking, you know, it wants to do something. It doesn't want to be dependent on people. They want to find their way. When they've learned those skills, they then go on and become builders, managers, organisers, and they build new things. Again, with second-hand materials. No new materials are used for the external works. Next, please. The architect has to stay on site because things can happen in the middle of the night. There's always a panic, there's always a problem, and if you're not around, it never gets sorted. So the actual job for the architect is no longer remote. It's in situ on site where the problems occur. Next, please. And beware politicians and people that jump on the bandwagon, because they'll fit in. All these schemes tend to be successful in their way. They tend to fit into the dogma. Tories think it's God helping those that help themselves. The Labour people think this is a proof that the revolution can work. The Liberals, the academic, think it's a terribly nice idea. And even the loony party think it's really right on, you know, it's what we need. Next, please. And even people, the King of Spain for one, the Prince of Wales, future King of England for another, jump on the same bandwagon. They want to be associated with success because, as you know, if you're successful, everybody comes to your door and wants to be part of the action. The trick with politicians is to be sufficiently distant from you that when it fails, they say, never had anything to do with it, you knew it was going to go wrong. But sufficiently close to you that when you're successful and they come with the tree, they say, we were there right from the beginning when there was huge difficulty with these residents. Next, please.
Something that we're working on at the moment is this development of sustainable architecture. Both Rod and I have now started a firm and we advise on sustainable lifestyle. Lifestyle means transport, it means health, it means architecture. And going back in time, we're looking at some of the projects from the Aga Khan Award where we're looking at small communities in Bangladesh who are unable to make their own homes. So what is it that an outside architect can come in and do and help them with? So we've got people who are going into architectural organisations and helping these people by teaching them. These people then gain the skills and then use them to earn money. Now, the most important thing is what? We look at how in Rod's book he mentions bad design, bad architecture. What kind of an effect does that have on people? If you're living in a slum, does that make you feel good about yourself? No! You want to live in a healthy environment. You want to look at healthy situations. You want that to affect you in a positive way. And this is what we're about. We've been working, Rod and I will tell you about all the different places that we've been visiting since February. And they're all wonderful places. Quite recently, we were working in Cuba with the UNESCO on a project of developing urban archaeology and almost looking at agriculture within the city revamping the city. All of the resources are already there, right? Those resources can then be reused. It's just like Rod, 40 years ago, when he first even mentioned community architecture, is now back. And we're looking at sustainable architecture. This is the future.
So finally, there's room for a brand new product for the middle classes who can afford it, whether it's $2,000 or $20,000 or $200,000. But these are the people we really cater for. We cater for those that don't have even the $2,000. They need a bit of seed money. It's up to us to get that for them. That's why Tiers and Trade Economist and Banker has come into the organization. And we also need architects with their technical skills. They're like doctors in a way. They have to go where the illness is. And the illness is in the poor cities. And it isn't just in the third world. It's in the first world as well, particularly in Europe, particularly in, I would say, the United States. And some of the more expensive parts. The most successful part we've been in the world where they seem to have got it together, and Tia speaks very good for Japanese, was Tokyo. Small houses, not very expensive. 26 million people, a mega city, a successful mega city compared perhaps to some others. So that's our presentation. We'll go into a bit more detail later during the program. But we just wanted to show that architects are useful. They need to have brilliant ideas that temporarily bring the attention of the world's press. They have to produce a product which ordinary people can take advantage of. And if this happens on a bigger scale, there simply aren't enough architects being trained through schools of architecture in the world. Because what you can only do as one architect is like 60 houses a year. So you can imagine how many you need. That's the amount of intensity you have to get this done. Suddenly come back, it's popular again, but for how long? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lord and Kim. I